This is Talk Is Cheap. I'm your host, DJ SST. So this is about stopline3.org. These pipelines, these fossil fuel pipelines need to be stopped in the battle against fossil fuel global warming. Go to stopline3.org. Right, so what this is a Zoom meeting with Together with Heather from the stopline3.org website that I got from Neighborhood Anarchists Collective. Representative Heather Keeler from Minnesota, Athena Hollins, Representative Athena Hollins, Senator Mary Kay Kanesh, candidate Lee Griffin, Representative Jess Hansen, Robert Pilot from Native Roots Radio, and Ogima Gnu Ikwe from Native Roots Radio, all talking to Winona LaDuke from Honor the Earth, who is instrumental in trying to stop Line 3 in Minnesota, which is a pipeline that is going to run tar sands across many rivers and lakes, and of course Native American land is where they're going to do it. So, and by the way, you can go to www.leg.mn.gov/legislators and email the legislators in Minnesota and tell them that you're against Line 3. That's www.leg.mn.gov/legislators. And there's this old-fashioned thing we used to do called writing letters. You can do that, or you can email them, or you can call them and get that information at www.leg.mn.gov/legislators. All right, and just as an aside, you know, rooftop solar, rooftop solar, rooftop solar. I can't say it enough that we need rooftop solar instead of running a line from a desert wind farm or solar panel farm when we have plenty of service area on our rooftops. They would just fund rooftop solar. All right, so part one, this is in two parts. Part one of stopline3.org's Together with Heather Zoom meeting with the Minnesota legislators that are against Line 3, a pipeline project in Minnesota that runs across Native American land. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. KPWLP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peaceworks Independent Community Radio, also online at kpw.org.
as many of you know, and if you don't know, now is an opportunity to learn about Line 3. It's taking place in multiple areas in our beautiful North Minnesota, but there's some major concerns with it. And today we're going to talk, honestly, we're going to talk about the experiences that we've had as we've gone out and actually have spent time in the spaces. And so I want to bring on Winona, if she is on. Winona LaDuke has been doing a lot of work around Line 3 for years. And I think it's really important for us to follow, you know, the people who've been doing the work in the communities and the people who we, you know, feel are our elders and our leaders. And so welcome, Winona. I know that you're just doing so much work. And the last couple times I've been out to see you, you know, I just wish that we could do more. But do you want to do just a quick overview of kind of where we are this week in Line 3? And then I'm going to bring on the other legislators who joined us, and we'll kind of have a further conversation with that.
You know, so it's, you know, the state of Minnesota, the Department of Commerce, the tribes all filed suit in August to say we need to look at the route, that EIS is not up to par. You know, don't know what to do with the spill, don't know how to cross these waters, and you know, there's deep environmental, including climate change concerns. And that, and the certificate of need, which is like how you get the right to condemn people's land, is something called a certificate of need. And that certificate of need says that Enbridge really needs this. And that was all approved. And we filed suit in August, and we won our day in court. And the Court of Appeals of Minnesota is supposed to hear our case, the state's case, Department of Commerce, and the tribes. And right now, Enbridge is just trying to get the pipeline done before we even get to court. So you go up there, and they're tearing across apart the North Country. And, you know, a quick December 1st, they started, and they've just been rolling through the North Country and taking down trees with this buncher feller and digging these big holes in the ground and trying to get underneath the Mississippi, the Shell, the Crow Wing, the Red River, the Little Red River, the Tamarack River, the Willow River. It's really, really violent and scary. Mm-hmm. And I think we had 30 people arrested so far. These are like good people that just don't want a fossil fuels pipeline in Minnesota, another one, the 7th.
Yeah. Well, and I think in some of the stuff that I've read as I've been learning, it's supposed to cross through like 227 bodies of water. And some of that is like the rivers, the lakes, but also, you know, some of our ricing areas. And I think so far they've damaged 7 or 8 that are like, we're not going to be able to bring those back. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a mess that's being made, and it's really tragic that mm-hmm. the mess is being made, you know, here, just for this Canadian corporation. I mean, I'm just trying to point out that we're at the end of the fossil fuel cars. You know, we've been driving around in cars that are 16% efficient, a combustion engine. An electric engine is 65% efficient. Everybody's going to electric engines. And we don't even use that much oil, and we don't need a brand new oil pipeline through the middle of Minnesota that is going to break. The Keystone XL broke, you know, within just a few months of its operation. Those pipes have been out there sitting around getting turned over and repainted for years. So I'm just sitting here saying, you know, what a lot of other Minnesotans are saying is, why are you doing this, Governor Walz? Why are you doing this? It's the end of the fossil fuel era. It's a Canadian corporation that all this got given to. And what we really want is leadership. What we really want is jobs that are going to make a difference for our communities over the long haul. What we really want is jobs that don't cause conflict and hatred. What we really want is renewable energy and local foods and not more pollution. And, you know, mm-hmm. that's what we want Governor to do. But, you know, we're looking at, you know, I've been very afraid and frustrated, and you were out there. It's not nice. And they are, you know, it's scary out there. You know, the DNR is very aggressive with us. It's the Department of Natural Resources, and I feel like that's my Department of Natural Resources.
Yeah.
This is my water I want protected, you know? It's just sad.
Yeah. Well, and I think, too, there's this misconception that, like, fighting for clean water is an indigenous issue. And the reality is all of us are connected to water in some capacity. Like, this is an everybody issue. This is something that so many other people really should care about and do care about. And so I want to bring some of those people on screen with us. Winona, these are a lot of the legislators who came out with us last weekend. And so I just kind of want to walk through. I think a lot of us have learned a lot from you, from the experience of being out there. There's a lot that after you get home and you really think about things, that maybe there's some more questions or follow-up questions. So Mary is going to kind of help co-host this conversation. Mary's been really working on it for a while. I mean, longer than probably any of us. And so Mary is currently in the House of Representatives, but recently elected into the Senate. And so the work that she's been doing, we really hope carries over into that capacity.
Yeah, this line three has been a thorn in our side. When I was elected into the House of Representatives 4 years ago, we did a lot of resistance. We pushed back a lot. And of course, that was at the time of just the DAPL over on Standing Rock. And my family is from Standing Rock. I saw the damage done, not just to the lands, but you know, the post damage to the community, to the environment, to the economics of that area. And visiting with Winona and her water warriors up there a couple of times now, it's sort of a PTSD reaction, because we see once again the destruction of beautiful Mother Earth, the lack of compassion or concern for the damage done. And you know, it's just very disappointing that at a time in Minnesota where we are dealing with, you know, some of the highest numbers of COVID, especially in that area, that there would be hundreds of thousands of men coming in and you know, making the area just so unsafe. And of course, there was a death just this past week by one of the employees, by one of the large machines. And there's so many things that are pointing to that this is not a good project. This is not a good action to be taking right now. And I do wish that those who could make the decisions would make the right decision, the good decision, and reverse some of the actions that are being done.
So I want to go through, we have four rep-elects here, and if I've said it before, I'll say it 1,000 times, that I am so excited to be part of this incoming class. I worked fairly closely with all four of these. Now rep-elects, we're not candidates anymore. It's hard to like transition that mind frame. But, you know, we worked really hard together on the campaign trail. And this is one thing that we talked about, not line three in specific, but like that we want to invest in protecting Mother Earth. And we want to be able to work towards an energy efficient Minnesota, you know, and we're not trying to take away jobs. We just want to have environmentally friendly jobs. And like, I think Winona says it so well, like we don't want jobs that are creating this huge issue. And so I'm going to go down and just kind of ask each of you to give a little bit of a reflection. I think we all kind of knew that line three was happening, but all of you showed up. And if you have a takeaway, if you have maybe a follow-up question for Winona, we'll talk about that. But the first person I want to go to is Rep-elect Liz Bolden. So she actually came out 2 weekends. So she came the weekend that we were out with a lot of the senators, and then she came again last weekend. And so, Liz, do you want to talk about some reflections that you have and just even the change in 1 week from what we saw? I mean, it's crazy how fast things are moving, right?
Yeah, it was crazy to just see the difference. And so so thank you, Heather, for having me on and being part of this important conversation. It was really eye-opening to me. And so, you know, it's different to hear about it just, you know, partially maybe in the media or just to hear people talking about it, but to see it is something really different. And that's really why I wanted to go, to just have that connection and to see it with my own eyes and hear from people who are doing this work and those water warriors who are, you know, protecting that land and doing that work, and just to see really for myself. It's beautiful land up there. So we were up by Palisade. It's gorgeous. And it was surprising to me, although it probably shouldn't have been, I guess, but the difference just in a week, in 7 days. Winona used the word, you know, violent, that it's, you know, just the destruction is violent. And it's true. Just seeing, and when we were there, the work wasn't actively happening, but to see the difference, the trees that are just gone, was really sort of amazing. So, you know, I think as I reflect, you know, it's important, like I said, for me to listen and, take, you know, to use my, you know, now in this role as a representative elect, to use my voice and my privilege and power to, you know, speak for justice and fairness. And there's a lot of reasons why there's concerns around this, many of which have been touched on, not the least of which is just the safety, for one, the safety of the workers, as was mentioned, just with the quickness of the speed of the work that this is being done, if there's safety concerns there. But also, we are in a pandemic. And so bringing in numbers of workers from across the country, that just is not a safe thing to be doing right now. And so we, you know, in Minnesota, we've been working hard to put sort of guidelines in place to keep all of us safe. And so I want to keep on that path and be sure that we are doing that. And so another thing that really resonated with me, Heather, is, as you said, you know, I think sometimes the talk around this is that it's an Indigenous issue, but it isn't. It's, you know, this does affect all of us. And so I think that's, you know, another part of the reason that it's important to me to, you know, this is an issue that affects everybody. And so to speak up in that way. And one question maybe I would have in reflecting on it and thinking back to, you know, the number of folks that we're bringing in to the area, which causes safety concerns, is how many people is this? Because as we talk about jobs, it's not job, all these jobs aren't Minnesotans, it's people coming from other areas. And so how many do we know, how many people that is?
I think that that'd be a good question to ask. I mean, you know, when you're up there, this was represented as kind of a Minnesota jobs project. And, you know, but we don't have 4,200 union pipe workers. Those people are largely from out of state. There's Texas plates, there's Utah plates, there's Wyoming plates. You know, the individual who was killed was an out-of-state contractor. And the company is working really fast, trying to, like, really get everything done before they get stopped in court. And, you know, so in that, it's super dangerous. And the numbers, you know, are out there. And, you know, one of the things that I've pointed out and asked the legislators that I think is fair to ask the state, I mean, the PUC issued these contracts. They, one, don't have a compliance way. We don't have a way to see if Enbridge is complying. And when they don't comply, who's in charge of enforcing it? Two, who's in charge of, like, all of this out of state, you know, the security guards that we don't know about, the equipment that Enbridge dropped off to local police stations, the accounting for how many out of state contractors there are? Who's in charge of that? You know, this is a giveaway of public lands. You know, it's a giveaway of public lands. And so we, the public, have a right to know, like, how this all rolls out. You know, it's a real big question of, you know, it's about the environment, but it's about how the future is made, too. and you know, how we should be. But yeah, I don't know. You know, these are the questions that I think that we should have answers to. Some of them.
Yeah, and I think, Mary, if you want to follow up a little bit too about, you were talking about that some of the workers that are local aren't part of unions. I mean, they're contracted workers, and so they don't have access to health care. We don't have, you know, these other things that come along with being part of a union. Mary, do you want to touch on that just quickly?
Sure. I had a phone call about a week ago from a person from up north, and he is working on the pipeline because it's a job that he can get over the holidays. But the fact is that he's found out that he's ill, and there's no insurance been offered, because what Enbridge has done is contracted with whatever state that they're working with, where they can find workers, and then consider all of these employees independent contractors, which means they don't have to offer them health insurance, they don't have to offer them any benefits. And I think this is a real concern, again, for Minnesota and our responsibility towards these workers to ensure that they have access to good health care if they are ill or are injured, that Minnesota is not now picking up the tab for Enbridge because they won't, you know, make that part of the package. And, you know, when you are a union member, they fight for you. They ensure that you have all of these rights and protections, you know, a safe workplace, that your hours are reasonable, that you have benefits for you and your family. And that obviously is not being followed in this instance. And it feels to me just another example of how Enbridge is not being a good steward, not only to our community, to our environment, but also to those that they have employed mm-hmm. to do this work.
One thing that I talked about, and I've always talked about, is activism is something that I've been doing for a very, very long time. And I love when my son wants to get involved in these things with us. And so he actually came out with me and was right alongside with all of you. So I just, if it's okay with everybody, I'm going to plop in the youth quick. And I just want, DJ, share your perspective as like a kid who's growing up and kind of seeing this, and this kind of being the first kind of visual that you've seen in some of this destruction. What was your thoughts? What did you think when you went out there this weekend?
I thought it was a good experience. I thought it was like, it was crazy because I never thought that, like, that was actually, I knew it was going on, but it was different seeing it like in person and being there and like seeing how people act when something comes along. Mm-hmm. And it really surprised me. So.
Yeah. So you learn so much by going and seeing.
Yeah.
Do you have a question for Winona? You remember Winona?
Yeah.
She's on the call. Do you have a question or anything you want to say to her?
I want to ask, like, when did you, like, start knowing that you wanted to make change and, like, wanted to make difference? Like, was, like, how old were you? Or, like, what's, like, a big thing that happened just growing up?
That's a cool question. You know, I come from a good family. You know, my parents were in the civil rights movement. You know, I was born in East LA, and I hung with the farm workers. You know, so I come from, and my grandma was a union pocketbook maker. I come from people who think you should stand up and do the right thing. You know, and I'm proud of all them, and I had, and I'm proud of all the people I'm privileged to get to know, you know? So I kind of like had a sense, probably just like you, you know what's right, you know what's wrong, you know? And the question is what you do with it. So you do your best, that's what I figure. But started pretty young, and then, you know, when I was just went off to college is kind of when all these things happen at the same time. That's what happens sometimes. You get out of your little small town and you're like, holy buckets. Look at those people doing all that stuff. But come back to Palisade and see us. You know, but change is made by people like you and me. That's how change is made, you know?
See, the youth always brings the other questions. I think it's weird because I don't know that any of us, like, we're one day just woke up and said, you know what? I think I'm going to be an activist. I think we've just been engaged. Like, things just, we have a different passion. So I'm going to roll over to Rep-elect Jess Hansen because she also brought her kids along. And so, Jess, do you want to give us a little bit of a recap of what you thought from it and then ask Winona or Mary any questions or follow-up thoughts that you have from this visit?
Sure. Well, thanks for having me on tonight, and thank you again for extending the invitation to me as well. I just think it was so important to go and bear witness to what was happening. I've felt connected to protecting our lands and making sure Minnesota stays as beautiful as it is supposed to be since I was a child. And so making sure that I could bring my kids in on that, they had the choice to stay home, and they chose to come with. And so I think that is reflective of what the next generation is looking for. Not only are there a whole bunch of grown-ups who expect that we continue to keep Minnesota, like I said, the beautiful place it is, the kids expect that too. They expect us to be making decisions that are going to be beneficial for their future. I know a friend, her kid said, you know, about, are you afraid of what the future holds? And her kid said, no, because I know there's grown-ups like you watching out for us. And I think that it's incumbent on us as parents, as adults and role models and mentors, aunts, uncles, grandparents, cousins, whatever role you play in youth's lives, that we remember who we're going to fight for, who we're leaving this problem to. And I think the biggest influence for me has been Winona's work. I've read everything she's written. It has informed my position about how we fight for environmental justice, economic justice, and how we make sure that we keep Minnesota beautiful. So it was hard to see the devastation. I was there just the 1 week. I do plan to come back. But I'm downriver. I live in a river city down in the South Metro, and that's the community that I represent. And so for me, it was just so clear that we all have a stake in this. We all have to do what it takes to make sure that the laws are being followed. I know a lot of the rhetoric is that, you know, this is a legal process and it's going through the legal process. But like Winona said, who's enforcing this? And I think those are questions that the public needs to continue to pose to everybody in positions of power so that we know that the laws are actually being followed. And I suspect that as we continue to poke and prod around that, we find some holes. And I'm also concerned about the ways that, you know, law enforcement approaches folks when they are bearing witness to this. There's a continued conversation happening about what that looks like in communities around the state, and I don't think North Country is any different. And so I think that is another piece of this, is that from my perspective, we pay conservation officers to protect our forest, not to protect what may be something that shouldn't be happening. And so I'd be interested to see what their role is in this and what they plan to do to help protect our lands. I don't have any questions for Winona right now, except for I do want to just say thank you, because there are lots of us watching the work you're doing, Mary as well. We're coming behind you. You've held the door open for folks to learn more and to get involved and to have the tools that we need to continue to use our voices to make the change we want to see in the world. So I'm humbled to get the opportunity to learn from you and to just be alongside of you and protect our waters as best we can.
I think we all second, third, fourth, fifth that sentiment in the work that you've done, Winona. I want to move over to Rep-elect Cedric Frazier. He is actually out in beautiful North Minnesota right now. But let's talk a little bit about what you learned out there. I think one thing, I don't have a legal mind. Like, that's not my education. That's not my realm. But I think some of the questions that you were asking and some of the knowledge that you were gaining is around the system, like the legal system with all of this. So give us a little bit of an update on what you learned, what your feelings were out there, and any questions, comments you have for Winona.
Yeah, so I mean, just quickly, I think that Winona, thank you for engaging us when we came out and taking us around. And Heather, again, I appreciate the fact that you organized this for us, because I think it's very important for us to be in those communities with the community that's being impacted and hear those stories and hear those voices so we can amplify them. Being out there, as you said, I'm out here now. I'm in the Reamer-Longville area right now, which is just not far from where things are happening over in Palisades. And so for me, this area is not new to me. The beauty, the serenity is not new to me. What it means to the entire state is not new to me. In fact, when I was campaigning, my district I represent is in the Northwest suburbs, but when I was campaigning, there were signs in my constituents' yards, stop line 3. So again, it is not this greater Minnesota or rural versus urban issue. This is an issue that absolutely impacts the entire state of Minnesota. And when we talk about the environmental piece, it impacts the entire region that we sit in, right? And I always see we are stewards of this land for the next generation. Kind of going back to what Jess said, we're the adults, but we're the stewards of this land for the next generation, and we have to make sure. In fact, I made a promise that I would help to protect as much as I could. I want to ensure that what I am enjoying today, what my kids are enjoying today, that their kids and their kids' kids will be able to enjoy the same thing. And so that is a promise I plan to keep, and that is a promise that I will continue to abide by and be governed by when I'm here to represent and amplify the voices. The legal pieces, I mean, I think some of the things that we heard, and one of the big pieces that I'm concerned about is, I'll just say, is the safe work environment for our workers. I am absolutely concerned to hear that they're mostly working with, contracted labor to avoid putting benefits in place, medical benefits or any other type of labor agreement benefits to help protect those workers. I think it's a way to skirt your responsibilities. It's also a way, they're moving so fast. This is how they're moving so fast, because what Mary mentioned earlier, if you had organized unions in place, they would stand up and put a stop to this if the working environment was not safe for their workers. They would push back. They would organize and united, in a united front, they would push back against the employer to do the right thing. And so I know they know that. I know that they know that this would slow their process and what they're trying to do. So that is a huge concern to me. And this was pitched as jobs for Minnesotans. This is a good thing for Minnesotans to have jobs. And it's very concerning, and it's a red flag for me if you've got folks coming in from out of state that are not Minnesotans and are not in organized groups that are working these jobs, because that tells me that was disingenuous. It was absolutely not. This is absolutely not a good thing for Minnesota, environmental wise and workers wise. So I have absolutely have issues with that. I know we continue to talk about the fact that it's now going through the legal process, and that's where it is. But I absolutely disagree that we don't still have a role to play in this, that we can continue to amplify this issue. We can continue to talk about how we can help protect our environment and protect our workers and protect the community members that are in this area. So that's very important to me. The question that I would have for Winona is just to let us know how we can be supportive, how we can be helpful, how we can continue to amplify this issue, and anything we can do to help support the mission that you all are trying to execute here.
Hey, you know, I just want to thank you all again for, like, you know, following this and watching it, because I do know that everybody's got a lot going on in our state, you know, we get that, but this is really fundamentally also central to our state. It's like, do we value our water or not? I feel like, you know, I'm not a criminal, I'm a water protector. I feel like everybody should be a water protector, and this is the only, you know, we have water here, and that is, it is life. Water is life. So to me, it's kind of like a Minnesota thing. I feel like Minnesotans are water protectors. You don't get 10,000 lakes and go hang out there without feeling like you're one with the water. So I'm like, stand up, Minnesota, be there for your water. And I think people are doing that. I mean, people are dropping off cookies, dropping us $40, coming in with like, I never had so much good food in my darn life. We're getting so much food donated up there, you know? So thank you for supporting us, you know? And second, I want to say that, you know, what we really need is a stay. That's to say, Enbridge, you know, take a chill. Just take a little bit of a chill. This big rush, that's how people get killed. That, you know, that was a union worker. They had a work stoppage after that. But just to tell you to be clear, in Canada, there's a similarly aggressive pipeline proposal, Trans Mountain. They had 2 worker deaths in October, and they had another injury, and they closed their operation down to the beginning of the new year. I'm just saying, rush these projects, you're going to get more people killed, you're going to run over more things and violate more laws. And finally, I want to say, like, look, you know, if the court said that we have a reason to be in court, if they build a whole darn pipeline before we even get to our day in court, is that really fair, Governor? Is that really fair? You know, this is not fair to the people of Minnesota. It's not fair to the Ojibways. You know, and to be honest, like, you know, if we want to talk about, you know, not only climate change, but about being a state that isn't racist, this is racist. This pipeline is racist. Its targets specifically, it sacrifices Indian people for a Canadian multinational and 23 jobs at the end of the pipe. That's short-sighted thinking, and it's wrong. You know, but what we want is a stay. We want the governor to say, just take a chill. We're going to hear this case in court so that it means something, that the court system and the system actually means something.
I think it's really important to highlight the fact that this whole idea of, like, not in my backyard is a thing that's real and it's happening. You know, people in St. Paul don't want a pipeline through their, you know, lakes and beautiful parks and stuff, but they're okay with it if it's not in their backyard. And what that tends to be is out in some of, in our backyards then, you know, and why is that there? And why is that not there? And why aren't we working closer with our tribal nations and understanding our treaties? You know, I see Nancy on here. Nancy talks a lot about treaty responsibilities are to be good stewards to the land, period. And that's a two-way agreement. And so let's move on. I want to go to Athena. Athena was out. She was there. Give us some of your recap, and then any questions that you might have for Mary, who's been working on this for quite a while, or Winona.
Sure. Thanks for having me, as everybody already said. My experience, for me, like, I've always been against Line 3. Like, I campaigned on it. I talked to my constituents about it. A lot of folks in St. Paul in my district are adamantly against Line 3. And so I feel like I knew a lot of the logical reasons behind why I was against it, but it was important for me to go to the site to feel grounded in the land and the water and, like, the reality of what this means. Because I think it was easy to read about it and understand it intellectually, but it was important for me to really feel that connection with the earth. And so I'm really thankful that I had the chance to do that. And it did impact me in some really profound ways. You know, to the point that you were making previously, Heather, that about the legality of this situation, I just want to follow up on what Cedric was saying and point out that some laws just suck, right? Like, even if you're following the law to a T and you're following the process to a T, sometimes those are just bad laws. And we know this is true. And I think this is a perfect example of that situation, which is why it's so important that legislators are going up there, because even if every person in this situation is doing everything right, all right, and following the letter of the law, the reality is the impact that it has on the community, on the earth, on Minnesota in general is not correct, right? Like, this is not what something that in general Minnesotans agree with and want to see happen. And so that means we need to change the process. We need to change the laws. We need to figure out how to make sure that this doesn't happen. And I think that is really, you know, it's incumbent upon us as lawmakers to work towards this. So, you know, to me, it makes a ton of sense to continue to push legislation or continue to push legislators to go to Palisade to see what this is, to learn more about it, because ultimately, if we don't stop this one, like, what kind of precedent does that set? Do we want to be looking in the future to see this happening again or in a different way that is equally destructive? I think it's really important that we think about what sort of precedent this is setting and how we either want to change and interrupt what's happening right now or how we want to change it so that it can't happen in the future. You know, and I've heard a lot of people talk to me about, well, this is a job creation and it's so important for these individuals to have jobs. And what I have frequently told folks, which is, I think, a bit of a controversial statement, but there's lots of things that create jobs that we're not in favor of. Like, you know that somewhere along the line, back in the 40s and 50s, there was somebody who was arguing against desegregation because they got more money to put in two water fountains instead of one, right? For the colored folks and the white folks. Somebody was like, no, this is going to cut into my bottom line. But the reality is that's not right and it's not fair and that's not the world that we want to live in. And so I understand that we are concerned about the well-being of Minnesotans and their ability to, you know, live their lives and make money. That is important. We live in a capitalist society, for better or for worse. But there are other ways that we can support them and create jobs that are friendly to the earth, that are friendly to other Minnesotans, that are forward thinking, that are not short-term jobs and contract jobs, but that are things that are well-paying, that have benefits, and that, you know, that individuals can really live with and build a career around. And that's what I would like to see done for these folks and done with these folks, to understand how we can build a better Minnesota proactively instead of just reacting to every time a corporation says, hey, we want to do this here. But I think this is such an important issue, and I don't, like, I absolutely cannot allow it to fade away. I've heard from so many people saying, well, it's a done deal. And I'm like, that's not acceptable. That's not acceptable. Like, I don't accept that it's a done deal. We have to keep pushing forward. And, you know, if it ends up just being the group of freshman legislators coming in and pushing this forward, then that's the way it's going to be. But I really want to thank you, Winona, for taking the time to show us around, to explain everything, to answer all of our probably really boring and repetitive questions. But we just really wanted to get a handle on how this was impacting folks and what we can do to help.
You've been listening to a Zoom meeting with from Together with Heather on StopLine3.org. Line 3 is a tar sands pipeline. We need to stop these fossil fuel pipelines. It's StopLine3.org. You can also go to www.leg.mn.gov/legislators if you want to tell the Minnesota legislators, the Republican legislators, that we don't need any more pipelines and that we need to fund rooftop solar instead of tar sands pipelines at www.leg.mn.gov/legislators. On KPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peace Works Independent Community Radio, also streaming online at kepw.org. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Support independent media. We'll be right back.
With your pipeline update report. So in an amazingly swift action on December 24th, the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission rejected the motions of the Red Lake and White Earth bands to stay Enbridge Line 3 construction. The opinion was issued within 2 hours of the filings of the Public Utilities Commission. In turn, Red Lake and White Earth Nations, joined by Honor the Earth and Sierra Club, filed both a legal challenge to the Army Corps of Engineers 404 permit on Christmas Eve, filing in federal court in Washington, D.C., with Red Lake Honor the Earth Sierra Club versus the Army Corps of Engineers. The plaintiffs, that'd be us, also filed a request for a preliminary injunction based on the lack of a formal environmental impact statement by the Army Corps. The Army Corps had actually relied on the state environmental impact statement, which continues to be challenged by the plaintiffs. As you may recall, in August of 2020, the White Earth Band, Red Lake, Honor the Earth, and other organizations filed an appeal to the Certificate of Need en route permit. That appeal was also joined by the Department of Commerce. So you have litigation underway to overturn the permits, which then became active. The grounds include a lack of a spill analysis of Lake Superior, an omission of climate-related impacts of the Enbridge project, and a lack of a full cultural assessment, and finally, the lack of any meaningful assessment of alternatives, including a no-build option. Those are all required under law. The tribes have been rebuffed twice now by the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission, and I think that's something that Waltz should look at, how the PUC treats the tribes. The plaintiffs, that'd be us, represented by Earth Justice, that's a national environmental advocacy organization which has been lead counsel for the Dakota Access Pipeline case. They noted the merits of the August 2020 appeal by Red Lake, White Earth Nations, the Department of Commerce to overturn the Certificate of Need and route permits. That would need to be heard before construction is completed, if there's any real intent upon serving justice. In other words, Enbridge is trying to get the whole pipeline in before we get to court. That's to say that the Minnesota Court of Appeals is scheduled to hear the case to overturn both the Certificate of Need and the route permit. The plaintiffs argue that Enbridge's work to complete the project or bring it to near completion before the actual case is heard is a challenge to the merits of the project, and it should be stopped. That's why we want us today. So, Enbridge has been aggressively moving ahead. If you haven't noticed, they're heading directly for the rivers, trying to complete the river crossings as early as possible in this time. They have a workforce of 4,200 people, primarily out-of-state pipeline workers that have moved into northern Minnesota. Minnesota does not have 4,200 union pipeline workers. As of last week, one of those pipeline workers died in Hill City when a forklift backed over him. Enbridge is in a big hurry. The project itself, as you may know, is intended to cross 800 wetlands and 227 bodies of water, the most water-intensive pipeline project ever built. And it's crossing areas of the 55 and 63 treaty territories. Treaty territories are the Pembina, Red Lakes, and Mississippi bands of Anishinaabe, as well as Pillager. The November 23rd approval by the Army Corps of Engineers for the Clean Water Act Section 404 permit to discharge dredged and filled material into the waters is being challenged. Along with that permit, the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources issued permits to Enbridge to discharge over 630 million gallons of water, causing destruction of endangered species, for which the state will receive approximately $2.3 million from Enbridge, although the state is who actually approved the permits. Some questions might be asked by our tribes, like, how did the DNR get the right to do all of that without any consultation with us? A similar case in court on the Dakota Access Pipeline is in federal court today, with an amicus filed by the states of Massachusetts, California, Connecticut, Delaware, Illinois, Maine, and others, all seeking to overturn the permits for the DAPL pipeline. The federal court found that the Army Corps of Engineers had violated the National Environmental Policy Act and issuing the permits and ordered the Dakota Access Pipeline closed down. Energy Transfer Partners and the state of North Dakota have proceeded with the pipeline despite the court closure with further negotiations. The point is that there's no pipeline in Minnesota, and if the court is to have a meaningful review of the project, the plaintiffs of the state would need to have a day in court. That's likely to be in March and April. And so, until then, the tribes are acting for the stay in order that the damages which are unrolling can be stopped. So the point of this is that it looks like we're going to have to hold our ground. We're 30 arrests in so far. The most recent arrest in Bacchus, Minnesota, where a young woman named Emma Harrison was up in a tripod. 22 people are arrested at the Palisade site. A couple of us tribal members, Don Goodwin and myself, were cited with trespassing by the Department of Natural Resources and Aiken County for going to our own lodge. So the long arc of justice might need some help. Corporate interests are prevailing over people and the Waltz administration. It's clear that the PUC has consistently disregarded sovereign nations, and this is a time when Governor Waltz, instead of taking Native people for granted, could do something like hold up for justice. Miigwech, thank you for your time. It's Winona LaDuke talking about pipelines.